Well, Landon read the verse just a couple of minutes ago, and I want to read it again, and then toward the end of the lesson is where we'll finish in Matthew 10 and verse 28. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Well, I want to ask the question today, what do you fear? And really, what is fear? Fear comes from the word phobos, and you can already figure it out. Phobias. Fear means it's an alarm or a threat, and you have phobias in your life. All of you do. And I have phobias in my life. All of us do. And all of our phobos are different. Our fears are all different in some ways, especially in a physical way. I can tell you, I don't like spiders and snakes. And I have acrophobia of that. And you could say, well, I have fear of claustrophobia. Don't put me in a small room with about 18 people because I'm going to look for a way out. We all have phobias. You know what the number one fear is of people? You see, this would be my least fear, but it might be your number one fear. Standing before a group of people and giving a presentation or giving a talk, that's the number one thing people fear the most. See, that don't bother me a bit. But acrophobia, you know, spiders, you know what I found out? I found out that spiders are scared of me too. I found this out. When I lift up my shoe to smash them, they take off. They're scared of me too, but I'm more scared of them. I just don't tell them. But we all have fears. Well, let's turn that into a spiritual application this morning as we think about that. Fear is simply an anticipation of danger. Guess what? Whether we believe it or not, agree to it, fear is the central issue of 2017. Now think about it. Think of all the fear that was in place in November. Think of all the fear that's in place in January. It's the anticipation, and sometimes that anticipation causes us to have sweaty palms and knees that knock and a tongue that feels like cotton in it because we just can't get it out. Do you know why people seek counseling? Do you know what a psychiatrist does every single day? Every day. There's not a day that goes by that a psychiatrist doesn't do this. You know what they do? They talk to people about their fears. That's what they do. One guy went to his psychiatrist and he told the doctor, he said, "Doctor, everywhere I go, people say I'm ugly." The psychiatrist says, "Go lie face down on the couch. We'll talk about it." He didn't want to see him either. He was ugly. That's what psychiatrists do every single day. They talk to people about their fears every day. What are we afraid of? What can we do about it? Now watch this number that's going to appear on the board. This is phenomenal when you really stop and think about it. 22 million of the 322 million people that live in the United States of America suffer from clinical depression. Fear. Many of that brought on by fears. That anticipation of danger that's going to happen in their life. What does the Bible say to help us with our fears? Let's look at some scriptures that I really believe will be a blessing to your life today. And you can write these down and take these home and put them on your refrigerator, stick them in your Bible, put it somewhere where you can look at these from time to time to help you calm your fears. The psalmist said, the Psalm of David in Psalm 37, three places, 5, 8, and 25. I want to read these three verses to you. David said this, commit your way to Him, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Whatever your fear is, He said He'll bring it to pass. If you trust in Him, commit to Him, walk in His way. I love verse 8. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. That says do not fear. It only causes harm. You see, as you continue to internalize those fears, it ends up eating away at the root of your confidence. And then 25, David confesses this. And how true is this? David says, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. You know what David said? In all of my fears, in all of my fretting, in all of my concerns, in all of my worry, if you will, God's still in control and God's still taking care of me and God is still on His throne. And guess what? The sky's still blue. And you know what? In the springtime, the grass is still green because God's in control. When we go back to the work of Solomon, and you know this as a man who lived wisely. He was asked in 1 Kings chapter 3, he had a blank check. God said, I'm going to give you a blank check. You make it out to whomever you want, to whatever you want. Whatever it is, you can have it. Solomon said, I want to ask for wisdom. I want to ask for an understanding heart. I want to be wise. Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived. Even though he made some mistakes, some faults and failures, and the Bible tells us that he went off for a period of time. But when you look at his journal, and that's what I call Ecclesiastes, it's a journal of life. It's a journal of trying to find satisfaction and the different avenues. And here we are in 2017, and it's the most relevant book of the Bible still today. It is up to date. It is current. Here are people that are trying all of these pursuits. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. Let me tell you what happened at the end of his life. When he knew that the time was coming when his heart would have to stop beating physically, here's what he said. Here's fear from a positive aspect. Here's what he said. Fear God. Keep His commandments, and everything's going to be all right. He goes on to say, this is man's A-double-L. To reverence who God is. To know that God is above us. To really be in awe of God and His goodness and His greatness. Who else do you know that would be willing to give their own son when you do something wrong? Who do you know that would be willing to give their own son when you ridicule and mock and laugh at God? You see, that's what Solomon is saying. Recognize God for who He is. Follow His teachings, His precepts, His commands. Because this is really the sum and substance of life. When you sum it all up, that is man's A-double-L. That's man's all. When you go to Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and 6, I'm going to go ahead and add 6 because that's really a question that is asked here at the end of 6. I want you to look with me at Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 and notice what the Hebrew writer says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, watch this. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And then here's the question. What can man do to me? I mean, if I know that God is with me, if I know that God is by my side, what can man possibly do to me? David said, or the Hebrew writer said, therefore, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fret over that. I'm not going to have concerns and worries. And then you go to Peter, and he says four things in one verse. And I want you to look at what he says among these four things, and look at one of the four things in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. And as you look at that, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. That would be the governing people at that particular time. And it would be our government today. That we may not agree with everything that our government does, but I certainly want to go on record, as Peter did, by saying a bad government is better than no government at all. And we need to be thankful for the government that we do have in place in the United States of America. But notice what he said before he got to that point. Fear God. What does that mean? Recognize God, reverence God, be in awe of God, know that God is going to take care of us. Well, having said all of that, let me go back to Matthew 10 and verse 28 and camp out here for just a few minutes in this very powerful verse. Because here's really what Jesus is saying in Matthew 10, 38. The body can be killed. We know that. But the soul lives. So what does Jesus tell us that you and I really need to fear? Well, he tells us in Matthew 10 and verse 28. And let's read it again. Let's hone in on what he says here. Do not fear those who might kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But here's where we really need to be on our toes. Here's where we need to get on the edge of our seat. But rather fear that person. Fear that problem. Fear that situation that is able to destroy both soul and body forever and ever and ever in a place we call hell. That's what we need to fear. Not just the person that can kill the body, but the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That leads me to this. I want you to look at this for a couple of minutes. Really, what our message is about, part one, is that we need to learn to love more and fear less. You say, where's that at in the Bible? It's in 1 John 4, verse 18. And I want you to look at that verse with me this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Notice what John, the apostle of love, says about fear in this verse. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so look at what John is really telling us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If we will learn to love more, it will help us to fear less. If we will love God more with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we will do like David said, if we will trust God more with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we'll put more emphasis on trusting God and loving Him more, our fears begin to diminish, disappear. But we have to love Him more. We have to believe He's going to take care of us. We have to believe that He's going to walk beside us. We have to be bold. And so, I think it begs maybe to ask the question at the end of part one. Are you afraid? What do you fear? Are you an unhappy couple? Do you have an unhappy family? Do you have unhappy children? Do you have unhappy parents? Do you have an unhappy boss? Do you have an unhappy self? See, love casts out fear, and there is no fear in love. This morning, as we get set to sing our hymn of inspiration and encouragement, I want to ask you to look within and say, am I like David? Am I putting my trust? Am I committing my ways to Him? Next week, we'll look at some specific fears and how we can overcome them in 2017. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you don't want to let Satan destroy both soul and body in hell. You don't want that. And so how incumbent it will be to fear God and keep His commandments, to believe in Him as the Son of God, and to change my lifestyle toward His, and to confess and verbally admit that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and to be immersed and reach that blood of Jesus. You know, as a Christian, you don't want to walk out these doors and say, you know what, I've got so many fears that I have misplaced God in the process. And my fears have overwhelmed me and overcome me, and they have controlled me. And, you know, as a Christian, you don't want to be able to say that. You want to be able to say, I trust God, therefore I'm going to let my fears diminish and disappear. And it may be that this morning that's something you need to confess. Or maybe you have some inward fears and you need somebody to pray with you and for you, that you might be more courageous in living the Christian life in a pagan culture in which we live in. That opportunity is available. And you're going to answer the question, what will my answer be? Brian, are we standing safe?